Good morning again. The title of our sermon today is Go Where God Leads, and it's really based off the first nine verses of chapter 12. And it's something I guess I struggled with early on as a believer, I think, was this story of Abraham. He's told to just start moving and going in the direction that God has told him to go, but really has no destination in mind at this point. He doesn't know where he's going. He doesn't know how long it's going to take to get there or anything else. And I was an over-the-road truck driver for a long time, and you didn't leave anywhere without knowing where you were going to go and where you hoped to end up and how long you thought it would take you to get there. And the idea of just getting in a truck and getting on the interstate and hoping for the best was just not what you would traditionally think of. And my life in general, I've never been that kind of free-spirited to be able to just say, oh, let's just wander. And wherever we end up, that's where we're going to be. And so when I read this story, the first thing I start thinking of is, well, God, tell me where you want me to go. And if you'll tell me where you want me to go, I'll go there. But in this story particularly, this is just start moving, start walking, and I will show you a place. But he doesn't even tell him what that place is or where this land is at or anything. The amount of faith it took to just get up and start walking, start moving in a direction. There's not even great indication that God told him which direction to begin moving at. He doesn't say move south, move north, move west, move east. He doesn't say that. He just says get up and I'm going to show you a land. We'll see that in the verses, but it's pretty amazing. I mean, Genesis truly is a book about God bringing something out of nothing. In this instance is that way too. I mean, he's leaving with no destination, but he's going to give him a destination that's going to come out of this trip and this walk with God that he's going to do, but it's going to take some faith. He's going to have to get up and move without exactly knowing where. When you look at the opening 11 chapters, we really witness the beginning of God's creation. It's the start of the human race, the beginning of marriage and family, and sadly, the beginning of human sin. We've seen that through some of the verses we've already studied. The reality of it is that the very air we breathe, both literal and figurative air, has its origins in Genesis 1 through 11. These verses start to tell us a little bit different story and how God is going to accomplish some of the things that he's going to do in the future. And it has a tremendous amount of application to us, particularly, I think, as a church in 2026. It has a lot of application to where we're going and what we're doing and following God when we don't exactly know what that outcome's going to be or how that's going to turn out or what obstacles we're going to face or anything else. So we can learn a lot from Abraham in these moments and what it means to follow God even when we still have questions in our head and in our mind and in our heart sometimes about what that's going to mean for us. So I'm going to pray for us, then we'll read these verses, and then we'll kind of break them down in our lesson today. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we are oftentimes exactly like I am in a lot of ways. I want to know the destination, Lord. I want to know where you're taking us before I move. But Lord, I'm clear from your word that there's oftentimes you're going to ask us to move without knowing the outcome, without knowing the destination. And in those moments, we really do have to find trust for you, real faith for how you're going to play this out, what you're going to do. And for Abraham to give us such a great example of that is amazing, but Lord, I pray that we can be those kinds of examples for people that will come after us. That they'll look and see, look, Colonial Heights Baptist Church. Jason Spade went when I told them to go, and they didn't know exactly how these things were going to turn out. But they trusted me, and they walked. They went where I told them. May that be said of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Genesis 12, 1 through 9 reads like this. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to a land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abraham went as the Lord had told him, and Lot with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abraham took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abraham passed through the land to the place of Shechem, to the oak of Moriah. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abraham journeyed on, still going toward Negev. We see in these verses that faith responds to God's call with obedience, even when the destination is unknown, even when the outcome is often unknown. If you were going to look at a key verse, I would say it would be 12:1. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. He's leaving everything. Everything he's been used to. Everything he's been surrounded by is going to change. He's getting up and leaving his country, his kindred, his father's house to the land that I will show you. I can tell you that there's been at least a few times in my life where that's been the case. You know, before I met Carmen, or even before I started driving a truck, when I went from the time I moved out of my parents' house at 16 till the time I met her at 26, I had moved 19 times. I went from, well, that was a big bug, whatever it is. Welcome to the service today. We might get a wasp baptized year after bit. But I moved 19 times. I went to boot camp, went from boot camp to AIT in Fort Leonard Wood, Fort Leonard Wood back to Fort Bragg back to Parkersburg, Parkersburg to Florida, Florida back to Parkersburg, Parkersburg to Louisville, Louisville back to Parkersburg. I moved a lot of times in that period of time. And I can tell you there was a lot of those times where I wasn't sure what the outcome was going to be. I either chased a job or chased a career or whatever. But in any of those types of moves like that, you have a momentary panic. Like, oh my goodness, I'm leaving everything I'm accustomed to. You know, all of my friends, all of my family, all of those things. Ministry has called us to move in many ways too. And it never gets easier. It's always hard. If you moved here from somewhere else, you know how hard it was to go into a new area, learn new people, get to know new routes and new ways around, and it's challenging. So when God calls you to something like this, it's not like Abraham just went, oh, okay, and off he went. I'm sure he had the same kind of, he's a person, he had the same kind of doubts and worries and concerns that we did, but his trust in God overrode those things. Sometimes I think we think when God calls us to do something, we won't have any concerns. We're just going to oh, that's exactly the way we should go. And I want you to understand that the majority of the time that God has called me somewhere, and the majority of the time he's going to call you somewhere, there's going to be some discomfort involved. There's going to be some fear involved. There's going to be some, how's this going to turn out, questions that are going to be in our minds. And they were there for Abraham too. And it's important we not like make him just a character on a page, but we understand he was a person with a family and concerns and trying to figure out what to do that was the best or make the right decisions. And suddenly God comes along and says, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And it's important to understand that this really was a call of faith. He's saying, do you trust all these things that you've surrounded yourself with, or do you trust me? Or do you trust me more than you trust all of these things? It's a call to act upon the faith that Abraham has exhibited, that he has stated. It's important to understand that call. If you read those three verses, now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country to your kindred, to your father's house, to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. It's a great promise that God makes in the last couple of verses. I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless those who bless you. I'm going to curse those who curse you. Trust me. Get up and move. That's what he's saying. But don't lose sight of the fact that God's call to Abraham was both personal and radical. This was a major change for Abraham. When you even read the remainder of the verses, which we'll get to in a couple minutes, and you understand all these things that Abraham had to gather to go, he was doing quite well where he was at. It wasn't as if he was struggling and God said, hey, let me take you to a better place. He's doing fine. He has family, friends, land, animals. He has everything in that day and time you could possibly have asked for or needed to survive, and in most instances, survive exceedingly well. It was personal and radical. He's saying to him, leave your country, leave your family, leave your father's house. It was a call to detach from all the security he had in his life, all the comfort he had in his life, and even his identity in his life. Leave your father's house. The protection. Leave these things. Detach from these things. Faith always begins with a call. We talked about how we recognize the call of God on our lives in youth this morning. And we're talking about the fact that it's something that always aligns with God's word, that there's always some stirring that happens in our hearts and our minds. It's confirmed oftentimes by other people. It's something that we see doors open and an opportunity to walk through them. That's today in our current context. But in this instance, we have no indication prior to this call that Abraham was feeling like, you know, I need a new place. There's something more God's calling me to do. I need to do something different. There's no indication that he felt any more or less peace about staying where he was. This was a radical type of call. This was a different type of call. This was a, I'm perfectly comfortable and God wants to do something completely different in my life. It was very similar for me as far as applying it to when I'm sitting on my back porch one day thinking, Lord, you're calling me to ministry. I have a career path. I have security in the things that I'm doing. I have trajectory that I have planned out. We have bills to pay and things to do. And My life by 32 was largely set in a particular direction, as many of yours probably was by that age. And God, in a moment, says, wait, we're going to go this direction. Radically different direction. And he's asking Abraham the same thing. Faith always begins with a call, not to what is known, but what God knows. It's not what we know that he calls us to. Sometimes we try to reconcile our call from God that way. It's like, well, God called me to this because this is what I like doing. Well, maybe that's true for you. But oftentimes God's call is going to call you into something you don't think you're good at. You don't think you can accomplish. You don't think you have the ability to do it. And he's going to call you there anyway. And when he does, our faith reveals itself. Are we believing in what he knows, or are we believing in what we know? Is it his direction that we follow, or are we asking him to follow our direction? I really love this thing, God. How about you get on board with this? Instead of asking God what he wants us to do in our lives. Notice the contrast. God doesn't give Abraham a map. He gives him a promise. He gives us promises, right? We see it in Matthew. Pursue first righteousness, the holiness of God, and all these things will be added to you. But we kind of want it the other way. Like, you give me all those things, and then I'll pursue you with them. He doesn't give him a map. He doesn't tell him how this is all going to play out. He doesn't tell him where he's going to end up, even. He says, here's my promise. I'll be with you. This is clearly my call on your life, and I promise I will protect you, I will guide you, and I will show you where you are to be. When God calls us, he rarely shows us the full picture. I know that as people, we really like full pictures. I like full pictures. I'm maybe speaking for myself. Maybe all of you guys always fly by the seat of your pants, and you really don't care what's going to happen or how it's going to happen. But for me, if you want me to do something, then tell me like how that's going to turn out. Like, why, if I do this, it'll turn out this particular way. Show me some destination, some point at which I can say, hey, we accomplished whatever it was I was set out to do. Give me some plans. You know, it's one of the hardest things about studying church revitalization is that oftentimes it is not a full picture. There's a shift. You see it. You know that there's something different that needs to happen in the church, and you're being asked by God to trust that the shift will get you where you need to go. Not exactly where that place is. It challenges us. He doesn't always give us the full picture. And if he did, it wouldn't be faith that we operated on anymore. I can tell you, at least personally, when God lays out a plan and I do think I know the end of it, I start trying to figure out different ways in God's plans to get there. God, I know you want me to like walk all the way around this hill, through this valley, and back up the other side. But if I just cut straight across, I'll be there in like half the time. And we don't have to waste the other 6-7 months. But there are things you're going to learn in the trip that you can't learn if you don't go the direction of God. Certainly been that way for me, whether it was good things. There's been some good things that have happened, unexpected good things that are like, man, I'd have missed that completely if I hadn't gone through what God asked me to go through or gone the direction that God asked me to do. But I'll tell you, there's some hard things. There's been some challenges, some times where it was like, God, really? Is this what, this is the way we have to go through this? It's in those moments, I'll say, the tough moments, that's the tough moments that you really realize how much you trust him and how much you don't. In the good times, we're grateful for God. It's in the hard times that we learn to trust him. And Abraham was going to have to trust. This is going to be hard. getting up and walking across a desert land when you don't know where you're going, where the next water is, where the next anything is a hard choice to make. But faith is obeying even when we don't have all the answers. Faith is taking the first step even when we don't see the whole staircase. That's a quote by Martin Luther King Jr. It really is that. It's like stepping out into thin air, trusting there'll be stairs there, but not knowing if there'll be stairs there. It's a big call he places on our life. But there's a promise in the call that he places on Abraham. God told Abraham, I will make you a great nation. He promises us that same thing. Go and make disciples, and I will be with you always. That the gates of hell will not prevail against the advancement of the gospel. I've said that before in other sermons. Sometimes we tend to think of like the gates of hell as a weapon being used against us. It's not. You are the weapon being used against it. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. Means they cannot stand to the advancement of the gospel. It's a promise we have in God. Don't forget that promise. When you're afraid of the things around you, the challenges before you, it is the power inside of you that can prevail against the gates of hell. The Holy Spirit in us, the promise of our God, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, promising him provision, that his needs will be met. You shall be a blessing, giving him some purpose, showing him why he's doing this. In you, all families of the earth will be blessed, a legacy. He's promised if he takes this step of faith. Imagine for a minute. I mean, if God tells me, look, I'm going to give you provision, I'm going to give you purpose, and I'm going to give you legacy, I'm ready to go. If he doesn't tell me that, then maybe it's a different discussion. He tells him that. And God's call is never just about us. It's never just about me. It's about what he wants to do through you, through us, through me. God's call is not simply, I'm going to bless you with all kinds of things and you're going to become rich and famous. And it's about what he's going to do through you as much as it is what he's going to do for you. So this journey of faith, we read it in verses 4 through 6. It says, so Abraham went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. How many in here are 75 years old or older? If you would please raise your hand. Okay, so you guys start packing when you get home. Think about that. We miss that little piece of the story sometimes. And I talk to lots of people that say, well, I did my time in children's ministry. I did my time in youth ministry. I did my time as a greeter. I did my time as those things. Abraham didn't start doing his time until he was 75 years old. There's no expiration date on your service to God. Well, there is one. But you're not there yet, or you wouldn't be here. And Abraham took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abraham passed through the land to the place of Shechem, and the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Canaanites, you should remember them. They're the bad people. They're the ones that were always stirring up strife and causing problems and killing their brothers. You should remember Canaan and what it is that comes from that place. And God takes him to this horrible place. this place of dark, a dark, dark place that worshiped other gods, that sacrificed to other gods, that did almost everything possible, including at one point trying to build a tower to escape God. And says, I'm going to give you this land. This land right here. Imagine just for a moment, just in your creative mind, imagine that you left here today driving home and God said to you, I'm going to give you this place, this town, this community. It'd be daunting. It'd be exhilarating. It'd be all kinds of different things. There would be emotions running through us, but we also have to trust. Just like we did when we left our place, we have to trust that God meant what he said when we arrive in the place. Faith isn't just believing God's word, it's moving on it. It's actually doing what he said to do. It's moving. Abraham was 75 years old, proving that God's call isn't limited to age or season. Remember, they're about 25 years away from getting pregnant at this point. It has no age limit. What God can do, no season. He took his wife, nephew, and everything he owned. Faith moves the whole household. I know I've shared these, maybe I've shared these here. I know I've shared them before in other teaching settings, but I mean, the statistics bear themselves out. Tremendous. It's a tremendous number. It's mind-boggling to me because it bears out every single time they do this type of survey. So if children come to faith first, about 3 to 5% of the time, the rest of the family comes to faith. 3 to 5 times. If a woman comes to faith first, about 40% of the time, her household comes to faith. If a man comes to faith first, 93% of the time, the other parts of the household come to faith. Faith moves a whole household, not just little bits of it. Whether it's 5%, 40%, or 93%, it doesn't matter. When faith comes into a household, it changes things. It certainly changed on our part. Carmen gets saved several years before I do, and it changed the tenor of our fights. That's what it did for the first 3 years. Because she was all of a sudden committed to following Christ, and I was still committed to following me and wanting her to follow me. Faith moves whole households. 3 years later, I surrendered to Christ, and here we are. Who'd have thought? Abraham's faith is to pack up everything, everybody around him. He didn't just say, sure, God, and walk out and leave his family back there in their safe space and like, I'll call y'all when I figure out what we're doing and you can come up. No, he moves his entire family in faith to what he believes God is calling him to do. There's no indication from Scripture that God called Lot or called Sarai or called anybody else in his household. He called Abraham. And Abraham said, okay. Time to pack. Load the U-Haul. We're moving to Kingsport, Tennessee. When Abraham arrives in Canaan, the text says the Canaanites were in the land. That's significant because faith doesn't remove obstacles. It changes how we face them. The Canaanites weren't absent of the land. It wasn't a vacant piece of property that God took Abraham to. There were going to be challenges. There were going to be obstacles. Sometimes you will obey God and still find difficulty waiting. It'll still be there when you show up. It's one of the realities, I think, that we undersell sometimes in service to God. You know, I thought, man, God's going to call me into ministry, and then he'll just pave the road, and it'll be, like, perfectly smooth. It'll be easy. If God's in it, the doors will open, and the roads will all be perfectly flat and easy to walk. Baloney. That is not true. It's not true for me, and it's not true for you, and it wasn't true for Abraham. Don't believe for a second that because God told you to go do something, that it's just going to be super easy. No compromise, no challenge, no obstacles in your way. No mountains to climb, no valleys to endure. None of those things will exist because God just makes it super easy for us. I'll tell you, there's only one person in Scripture that promises you a wide, easy road. And it's not God. Make sure you're aware that following in faith doesn't mean you won't find difficulty waiting for you when you get there. But faith trusts that God's presence is already there before you arrive, even in the obstacle, even in the thing you have to overcome, the challenges that are present. He moves us on to this worship of faith in verses 7 through 9. Then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east side of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built another altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abraham journeyed on still going towards Negev. When Abraham arrived, God appeared to him, reaffirmed his promise, "To your offspring I give this land." And Abram's immediate response was to build an altar, a place of worship, gratitude, and repentance. We saw this in Noah, if you remember. He comes out of the ark. What's the first thing he does? He builds an altar to the Lord. It means all along the journey, even when we go through trials, struggles, difficulties, overcome challenges, whatever, we have to learn to celebrate the victories in God. Worship Him, even when we probably don't always feel like it. Worship, biblically speaking, is much like love, biblically speaking. It's not all about how you feel. It's about the object of your worship and whether he's worthy to be worshiped or not. It's an active choice to worship a holy God, even when it's still uncertain where you're settling or what you're doing or how this is going to happen or how it's going to play out. Abram's altar is really him saying, "God brought me here and I will honor him here." Then he continues his journey, builds another altar. Worship marked every stage of his faith journey, and it should mark ours too. I've said before, I write that little grateful post on in the morning for a reason, to fight off cynicism and discouragement and those types of things. It's something that reminds me there's always something to be grateful to God for. I want my life and my ministry to be marked by places of worship, times of worship, things we did in worship to the God who deserves that worship, even when things have been hard, even when it's not settled yet, when the outcome isn't even known. Faith isn't only seen in movement, it's also in moments of worship. How well do we worship? Each altar was a marker of trust, a reminder that God was faithful yesterday and he will be faithful tomorrow. He's gotten me here and he will get me where he says he's going to get me. That's the type of faith that follows. Abraham's story really is our story. We too are called to leave comfort for calling, to walk by faith and not by sight, to trust that God's promises are bigger than our understanding. When God says go, He also says, I will. I will be with you. I will provide for you. I will uphold my promises. I will do the things I say I will do. Go is our responsibility, and I will is His guarantee. The challenge for us today is, where is God calling you to step out in faith today? You might not know the outcome or the destination. You likely won't. But where is He calling you to step out in faith today? Maybe it's forgiveness. Like, you can't imagine the opportunity to forgive someone for the things that they've done in your life. Maybe it's because you can't understand the opportunity for yourself to be forgiven in some circumstances in your life. You have to trust God and step out in faith in that area. Maybe it's ministry. Maybe there's an area of ministry you need to be serving in, or area of service or missions that you need to be involved in. Maybe it's trusting Him with your future. I would say, particularly young people, we talked about this in youth this morning, that you need to think about where God wants you to be, where God wants your life to go, not just where we think we should go or what the world tells us. Don't wait for perfect clarity. Learn to walk with perfect trust. Trust God and go where He tells you to go. You will find that the walk is worth it, that the promises are fulfilled. Hebrews 11:8 says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. It won't be perfect, but you can learn to walk in perfect trust. As I was looking at this message this week, this was the prayer that I had on Wednesday morning over this message, which was, Lord, give us the courage of Abraham to go where You lead, even when we cannot see the destination. Help us build altars of worship along the way, to trust in Your promises and to be a blessing to the world around us. A strong prayer. It requires a strong faith. And I pray we have it. As we go to our time of invitation, I would encourage you to think about where God is calling you, but not just that. Where are you trusting God somewhere that you can't determine the outcome? Somewhere where your trust in Him has to be the guide. Not your ability, not your finances, not your station in life, not your position in life. God. And if He hasn't revealed one of those journeys for you, I can encourage you, it is on the horizon. And when He calls, let's step out in a trust that knows that if He calls us here, He will get us here. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I am grateful. Grateful for the opportunity to gather, to worship, to praise. But Lord, to learn how to trust more and more the things You say You will do, and to trust that You will play it out in the way You know is best. And sometimes we won't know why. Lord, when we lack understanding, give us trust. Give us faith. Help us to know You are God, and we can walk with You knowing You will do what You say You will do. And I pray, Lord, that when You are calling, we are willing to go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.